オンナマボケベテバスデバヤ。
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 シュミバーグタン1st Canto Chapter 12 Birth of Emperor Parikshit Text 2 Tasya Janma Mahabhudhe. Be nice if you got a board here, a little board to write the verse on. Kamani cha mahatmana nidanam cha yathai vasit sapretya gatavan yatha. Tasya Janma Mahabhudhe. Kamani cha mahatmana nidanam cha yathai vasit sapretya gatavan yatha. Tasya Janma Mahabhudhe. Kamani cha mahatmanaha nidanam cha yathai vasit saprejya gatavanyata. Tasya,
tasya
his
is
of Maharaj Pradikshit
janma
birth mahabhudhe of great intelligence. Karmani activities. Cha
also.
Mahatmana.
Mahatmana.
Of the great devotee. Nidhanam.
Nidhanam.
Demise.
Demise.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Yatha.
Yatha.
As it was.
As it was.
Eva.
Eva.
Of course.
Of course.
Asit.
Asit.
Happened.
Happened.
Sa.
He.
Pretya.
Pretya.
Destination after death.
Destination after death.
Gatavan.
Gatavan.
Achieved.
Achieved.
Yatha.
Yatha.
As it were.
As it were.
Translation. Since the sage Shaunakarishi questioning Sutta Goswami on behalf of the sages at Naimisharanya. How is the great emperor Pariksit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place, and what did he achieve after his death? Purport. The king of Hastinapur, now Delhi, used to be the emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother, so he could certainly be saved from an untimely death due to the ill will of the son of a Brahmana. Because the age of Kali began to act just after the assumption of power by Maharaj Pariksit, the first sign of misgivings was exhibited in the cursing of such a greatly intelligent and devoted king as Maharaj Pariksit. The king is the protector of the helpless citizens, and their welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on him. Unfortunately, by the instigation of the fallen age of Kali, an unfortunate Brahmana's son was employed to condemn the innocent Maharaj Pariksit, and so the king had to prepare himself for death within 7 days. Maharaj Pariksit is especially famous as one who is protected by Vishnu, and when he was unduly cursed by a Brahmana's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him. But he did not want to, because he was a pure devotee. A pure devotee never asked the Lord for any undue favor. Maharaj Pariksit knew that the curse of the Brahmana's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew. But he did not want to counteract it, because he knew also that the age of Kali had begun, and that the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of a highly talented Brahmana community, had also begun. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. Being fortunate, he got at least 7 days to prepare himself to meet death, and so he properly utilized the time in the association of Shukadev Goswami, the great saint and devotee of the Lord. Om Gyana Timananda Sya Gyana Anjana Shalaka Tatraksham Tanina Tazmai Shri Gurave Namaha. You're getting history from Srimad Bhagavatam here, but it's not history that conforms to the Western conceptions of history. The Western conception of history, as we've discussed sometimes, is simply that everything has to be recorded and in chronological order. Now, that's actually not a fact that everything is being recorded, but people think that's so. Anytime you have historical writing, you have somebody accumulating facts and selecting them, what to speak of arranging them. So it's always dependent on the person. So you can read a history book, let's say of the 20th century or the 19th century. Do you think everything's in there? No. What in fact is in there? In the history books are simply things that the historian thinks are important. And because people are materialists, you'll simply find materialistic history in the books. So everything depends on what the historian who's writing the book thinks is important. So why is Srimad Bhagavatam any different from that? Srimad Bhagavatam is history written according to what the sages think is important. So you think it's important. What are some of the things you learn when you first go to school about history? I know. See, in the USA, the first thing you learn is the Boston Tea Party, when the American colonists threw the tea from Britain over the side of the ship because they didn't want to pay taxes on it. You know, this is, you know, a key pivotal moment. Or else you learn, I still remember, 1600 or 1500-something, Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. Is that what it's called, cotton gin? Yeah. You remember? Mm-hmm. They did the same thing to you, right? And then, what is it, Jamestown in Virginia? Yeah, the first colony established. And then, of course, Columbus discovering America from the Indians. Mm-hmm. And they teach you the names of his three ships. Every school kid in America, when you're 5 or 6 years old, you learn the names of Columbus's three ships. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. They teach you all this. So, they want you to focus on these things. That's their history. So we have our history as devotees. Now it doesn't correspond to what the materialists think is important. But what can we do? We have a completely different vision. They don't acknowledge spirit. They cannot explain what is consciousness. We think that matter is inferior and the spiritual energy, evidenced by consciousness, is superior. So obviously our history is going to be a bit different. The Vedic historians don't consider the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature to be that important. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, bhuta bhutva praliyate, this material world is constantly created and annihilated again and again. What the sages do think is important is the life of great souls, how they're glorifying Krishna, how they're leading a life of freedom from the material energy. That's what's considered important. Otherwise, the Vedic attitude is that there's nothing new going on in this world. So why spend so much time hearing about the actions and reactions of the three modes of nature? The three modes of nature can take the form of buildings or cars, bodies, material bodies. The three modes of nature also take the form of emotions, mentalities, thoughts, cultural movements, political movements. It's all trigunamayi, the three modes of material nature. So the Vedic sages are bored by that stuff. They don't think it's worthy of being remembered. And this is what materialists can't understand. You don't want to remember the crucial events of this world? But we say those are not the crucial events of this world. So when you follow the questions of the Bhagavatam, you begin to learn how to focus on what is important. So these sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they're asking, how was the great Emperor Pritchett, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place? And what did he achieve after his death? So why are we concerned with Pritchett Maharaj? Because of his devotional dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as king. He was basically the last great king before the onslaught of Kali Yuga. He understood that it's Krishna's plan that Kali Yuga come. Therefore, he allowed himself to be cursed. Or more specifically, he allowed that the curse would have effect. In previous ages, brahmanas had that power. They could kill by cursing. They could kill by high sounds, just like they got rid of Maharaj Vena. They knew how to use sound vibration. These days, of course, people who claim that they are brahmanas by birth, they have no such powers. They just put a string around them, around their shoulder, and think, oh, now I'm qualified. And then, even if someone is a Vaishnava, still, they do not display these things. That is Prabhupada's explanation, that a Vaishnava is not interested in displaying mystical abilities. A Vaishnava is interested in displaying dependency on Krishna. That's the real mystic power. Therefore, even if a Vaishnava may have such abilities, he does not show them. Because the hallmark of the Vaishnava is exclusive dependency on Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, he said, you know, you're asking what is my mystic power? Because at the time so many so-called mystic yogis were coming abroad from India, showing some little prowess and saying, just see our abilities, and the people were getting so fascinated. So Prabhupada said, yes, I have mystic power. My mystic power is that I can cause people to give up illicit sex, intoxication, eating and gambling. So that's how a devotee of Krishna demonstrates mystic power, by spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya, by inspiring people to give up their sinful life and inspiring them to take shelter of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Otherwise, a Vaishnava has no need to display this ability or that ability. So Pritchett Maharaj, he actually did not have to submit to the effects of the curse. But he did so knowing it was Krishna's plan, because Kali Yuga had to come. People want Kali Yuga, believe it or not. Now, how many of you think, I want Kali Yuga? When you think of the problems of today, wars and economic problems and violence, thievery, just like just a little bit of inattentiveness at the loft and someone came in and took some things. So, these are the problems of Kali Yuga. So you may say, well, I don't want this. But then, think about the other things. And then you'll realize you do want Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga provides opportunity for uncontrolled sense gratification. It provides an opportunity to live without Vedic rules and regulations. So that is what the people want. They want the so-called happiness of sinful life, but they don't want the distress of sinful life. They have to be trained to see that you have to get both. You cannot just take the so-called happiness. You must get the distress too. So wanting Kali Yuga means I wanted an opportunity to enjoy my senses in a degraded way. People want that chance. So Pritchett Maharaj knew this is Krishna's plan. I won't refuse this curse. I'll just accept it gracefully, prepare myself to go back to Godhead. Also, Krishna wants that Srimad Bhagavatam be spoken, so I'll participate in this plan of the Lord. So as described in the purport, he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. At the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada writes that the king of Hastinapur, now Delhi, used to be the emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Pritchett. So you're talking about a time around between 3000 and 2000 BC. That Prichit Maharaj was emperor of the world doesn't mean he was personally involved with every nook and cranny. No. But it meant that he was the sovereign controller. So according to the Vedic version of history, all these political divisions that we have today, they're just recent creations. People wonder, how can one person run the whole world? But Prichit Maharaj is not alone. He's acting in harmony with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he has the cooperation of the Supersoul in everyone's heart. By hearing the answers to these questions, we'll become further absorbed in the glories of the Lord and his devotees. That is our hearing matter. That's the kind of history we're interested in. We want to know the history of Krishna's appearance. We want to know what his devotees do. So Srimad Bhagavatam is history meant for the most intelligent persons who are not concerned with the actions and reactions of the material nature as the all in all. Just like when it's raining in Wellington. It's just background things that happen. Would you want to devote yourself to a history of rain in Wellington? No, it's just something that goes on in the background, but meanwhile you go on with your affairs. A history of the wind in Wellington. No, that's background stuff. So similarly, although a devotee of the Lord acknowledges the material energy, it's just the background stuff. The real thing is the life of the eternal, the activities of the eternal, the qualities of the eternal. That doesn't mean we're callous in dealing with the material world, though. Because whenever a devotee interacts with the material world, that is something special. So it's not that we're just reading Srimad Bhagavatam and then we don't know how to deal with Krishna's material energy. No, that is not so. Srila Prabhupada once described a devotee as someone who knows something about everything and everything about something. Now what does it mean to know everything about something? That means you know everything about Krishna and devotional service. And what does it mean to know something about everything? It means any ordinary material subject you know a little bit about. As you can see in pushing on the preaching here in the city, you have an opportunity to learn something about everything. Little cooking, little this, little that, how to deal with electricians, how to deal with plumbers, or how to deal with printers, or... And gradually you start accumulating this kind of knowledge. How to maintain a car. That's what Prabhupada meant by a devotee when he said a devotee knows something about everything. It's not that we're foolish in dealing with the material energy. Oh, it's all Maya. No, it all belongs to Krishna. As soon as you realize it all belongs to Krishna, then whenever you have to interact with the material energy for Krishna's pleasure, the nature of that interaction is something different than when a materialist interacts with the material energy. We know who the energy belongs to. In that way, even though a devotee is in the material world, the devotee is situated in spiritual existence. Because he sees everything as belonging to Krishna. Material world means the vision that the energies of this world are separate from Krishna. Spiritual world means the vision that everything belongs to Krishna and is meant for his pleasure. The first sign that Kali Yuga is coming is that the brahmanas, the spiritual intellectuals of society, became corrupted. Unqualified Brahmana boy, Sringi. His father was very qualified, Swami Karishi. But Sringi was not qualified, even though he was born in that family of a Brahmana. So this is the beginning of the problem. Persons born in Brahmana families are saying, I am qualified just by birth. And you see what Sringi did. He cursed Maharaj Prichit to die in 7 days, misusing his mystical power as a Brahmana boy. His father lamented so much. What have you done? What have you done? His father did not take his misunderstanding with Prichit Maharaj very seriously. So as Kali Yuga progresses, the spiritual system of society breaks down because unqualified persons take birth in Brahmana families. The demons begin to infiltrate. And because people do not understand, they think because you're born in a Brahmana family, you must be a Brahmin. And a person could be acting like a demon. Without a strong king like Prichit Maharaj to enforce the Varnashram system, these kind of misunderstandings come. So now you have a society in which people don't even know what the purpose of the society is. We were asking them yesterday, what's the purpose of New Zealand society? What can you say? What's the purpose of New Zealand society? Well, hard to answer. It's hard to answer because there's actually no purpose except organized economic activity in which somebody's making money and someone's losing money. That's all. It's just an economic arrangement for exploitation. Are the people being benefited? The people think as long as we can make money, as long as crime doesn't bother us, then everything is all right. We'll live a peaceful lifestyle of uncontrolled senses. But that is not what a government is meant for. As stated here, the king is the protector of the helpless citizens, and their welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on him. Now, would you like to go to the beehive and say, our welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on you? No. You go to your government leader, Mrs. Shipley, and say, dear Mrs. Shipley, our welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on you. She won't even agree to that. Oh, don't put it all on me. I'm just trying to do my best for the people. I can't. So what is the purpose of the society? And when do the people become disturbed? When they're not getting enough money. Then they want a revolution. They want to tear down the government. We're not getting money. Therefore, it's easy to see. You just have a society of cats and dogs. They just want money for their uncontrolled sense gratification. That's all they want out of the government. That's all they want. They don't want knowledge. They don't want culture. They don't want enlightenment. They just want money. So when the politicians seem to be delivering a wealthy country, everyone's happy. And when the inevitable crash comes, then everybody is angry. The politicians, they're just like actors dancing on a stage. You know, it's like you have the punk rock musicians, and they dress up in various ways and jump up and down the stage screaming into the microphone. Sometimes they dive into the audience, right? Well, the politicians, that's how they act. They just do it a different way. They wear suit and tie, or, you know, the lady politicians, which happens quite a bit these days. They wear their, however, conservative ladies dress from political office, you know. So, they're just prancing around on stage, trying to entertain the people. Yet everyone is so dull, they can't see these things, because as long as you are engaged in sense gratification, you cannot see. So it's always amazing at the lofts when you talk to people, because they feel comfortable in the atmosphere. To hear them say the craziest things with a straight face. What was this young man saying? What's life about? What's about? What did he say? Life, death, and happiness. He doesn't understand the contradiction. Life, death, and happiness. Well, how can there be happiness when there's death? Well, it's all how you think about it. They think they got that power. It's all how you think about it. But whether you think about it or not, these things are happening to you. Now, what are you going to do? If someone breaks into your house and takes everything, what shall they do? They'll just tell you. It's all how you think about it. Just don't worry about it. If someone comes and grabs his girlfriend that he was with yesterday and takes her away, don't worry. It's all how you think about it. It's all bogus. No one really acts like that. They just say like that. If someone comes up to him and wants to slit his throat, and says, don't worry, by the way, it's all how you think about it. They say anything. They don't mean it. But it sounds cool. Until they start talking like this around devotees. And then, hopefully in a gentle way, they realize that this is pretty stupid. We are doing a great austerity on behalf of Krishna, trying to educate these people. But Krishna will bless you all for your sacrifice. It's not easy day after day to try to convince people who are sick but think they're healthy, to try to convince them they're sick. Very difficult. They think they're in perfect health. They think everything is fine. Just a few adjustments are needed in the sense gratification department. Otherwise, things are basically all right. Rare it is the person who thinks this material world is rotten, I don't want to be in the material world anymore. Very rare. Generally, they think basically things are all right. Isn't that what you thought, Matt? Things are okay, right? Yeah. Could use a few adjustments, right? But things are all right, right? What did you think, Josh, number two?
Useful point. I tried not to think about this sort of thing too much.
Yeah. Because basically things are okay, right? Mm-hmm. You're a young guy, you got a job, right? A little money in your pocket, you know? What about you, Harish?
Yeah,
I thought, I'm a young man, I must earn money, right?
Yeah.
So earn money to, you know, in the future I'll be married, and then my family, parents, they also want money, right? So I must get a good job and lead a good life. I'll offer something to the gods. Keep them off my case in case they exist. This temple, that temple, doesn't matter. Just offer something to the gods. And yeah, if you're good, something good will happen. Mm-hmm. So this is the ignorance that afflicts everyone. We're trying to teach people to use their intelligence. Very hard job. But we have our weapons, prasad, the holy name, and of course, the basis for everything that we do is Srila Prabhupada's books. We want everyone to make these books the bedrock and center of their life. The spiritual encyclopedias for the home. So you all are working very hard. That is what's making the atmosphere attractive. There is very intense service going on for Krishna. It's a sacrifice. You could all be doing so many different things, worrying about your own senses, making your own situation. Even in Krishna consciousness, you can do that. But instead, you've chosen, let me use my energies to help others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur demonstrated that preaching is everyone's business. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, no one's more dear to me than the one who spreads my glories to others. We want to make a big dent in Wellington, and that takes focus and concentration. We just go at it day after day after day. Krishna will reveal astonishing results just based on steadiness and determination in bhakti yoga. We want to do service so that Krishna will recognize us. Instead of trying to see Krishna, we want to act so that Krishna will want to see us. So if we have a nice chance to serve Krishna, we should be very happy and take advantage. Everyone has a place to sleep. Everyone's eating nicely. I was just thinking the other day, you know, let's say you're just like Josh number one and two can tell you, for our devotees who are, you know, they're not working, outside job. What happens? One day you wake up and you feel a little sick. You just call the boss and say, oh, I just feel a little sick, I can't come in today. Need a little extra rest, so if you don't mind, I'll be in late in the afternoon. Just need a little extra rest, you know. You can't do that. So our devotees who are not working full time, we should understand that you have a great chance, but you have a great responsibility, which you can space out on if you're not careful. So we want all our devotees to be very actively engaged in Krishna's service with intelligence. Have compassion on these people, but first you must have compassion on yourself. Keep yourself spiritually strong. It's a daily battle. It's not that you've got Maya solved one day and the next day you can go on vacation. I was battling with material desires yesterday, but some or other I figured it out. I read the Bhagavatam, I chanted and fended it all off. Okay, that was yesterday. Now today is something. No. Every day. You have to push every day. This is how Maya works on you. If she fails to get you one day, then she tries to convince you that, okay, you beat me on Sunday, so you don't have to worry Monday or Tuesday. No. Every day you have to arm yourself. Protect the gift that Lord Chaitanya has given you. And then gradually, 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 you notice you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. The attacks still come, but you're stronger and stronger and stronger in putting them down. So gradually, the attacks start to fade into the background. But you have to work on it every day, and don't fool yourself thinking, oh, yeah, I did battle with Maya a week ago. Okay, that's it. Everything's fine now. That's why we have sadhana, daily execution of devotional service. Please remember that we are pushing brain development. That is the specialty. Give your brain a festival with Srila Prabhupada's books. show the people that Krishna consciousness is for the most intelligent persons. Then when they see how you are living and how it's all coming from Srila Prabhupada's books, they'll also want the books. And you can see with this set distribution, you see how Krishna is doing it. If you don't try, Krishna won't help. This is Krishna's desire that Krishna consciousness be spread. So we're fortunately participating and getting a little credit because of it. Don't think, oh, I'm just a new devotee. I'm just working in the outdoor shop. What can I do? I'm just a computer specialist. I'm tied up all day. What can I do? I'm just a young lady in my early 20s. I'm not even 20. What can I do? Everybody can come up with excuses. I'm just for this, I'm just for that. Meanwhile, the flood of love of Godhead is going on. So everyone can participate. Everyone can become recognized by Lord Chaitanya and dance in ecstasy in the Sankirtan movement. The Sankirtan movement means the flood of love of God. I always joke with Emily. She's always bringing up this point. She said, well, you know, what about joining the movement? And I never thought about joining the movement. I said, when have you ever heard me talk about joining the movement? I just told you to chant Hare Krishna or read the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see what happens. It's not the 60s where you want to join the peace movement or join the this movement or the that movement or the hippie movement. But if you want to look for a movement, it's the flood of love of Godhead. Look for the movement of the flood of love of God. So that movement of the flood is taking shape in Srila Prabhupada's books. And the organized effort to read and distribute Prabhupada's books, that is the flood of love of God. It is organized, but it's not organized in like some dry bureaucracy. The whole point is that the flood of love of God moves, and you can move with it. That's the point. And how do you move with it? You take shelter of these books. You can spend your whole life reading them and help others to take shelter of these books. That requires organization. That requires some coordination. But we should not get so lost in organization and coordination that we forget our internal spiritual development. People want to see your wealth. Then they'll be inspired. Okay, I'll also try to be like you. Our wealth is simple. We chant Hare Krishna, we read these books, we offer our food to Krishna, and we try to get others to do the same. So we want an increase. Krishna is competing with us. We didn't expect all these things to happen. So Krishna reciprocated. Okay, you're making your little efforts, but I'll make something bigger happen. So now we have to increase, and then Krishna will increase. That way it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Any questions? So just be happy in this simple way. Chant, take prasad, dance, study the books. When do you have big kirtans at the loft? On what day?
couple of times a week you get together and have parties, once a week, at minimum that, have a nice big kirtan. Anyway, how you schedule all that, it's up to you. I noticed the guests yesterday, I noticed if you gradually work them into the kirtan, they like that. Maybe it's better than to have them running up and down from the very beginning, that you start off and build it up and get them into the mood, and then you stand up and they feel naturally able to participate. That's the thing, we want them to participate, we just don't want them to watch a show, you know. We want them to chant and then to feel a part of it. So I was quite pleased to notice that they were all, except for that guy who was sitting down in yogic trance, but he was participating in his own way, in samadhi. But I noticed he was quite happy afterwards. He's looking quite bright-faced. Anyway, that's his way of participating. That's all right. But everyone should participate. You just don't want a show where people are sitting back, you know, against the walls, watching devotees, you know, do their choreography. People want to participate, but they want to feel natural about that participation. Therefore, sometimes it's nice that devotees have their own kirtan amongst themselves, maybe Sunday morning or something, because that way they can just not have to worry about all these things, you know. Sunday programs, they're for the guests. That's the topmost concern. But sometimes devotees, they just need a chance to not have to worry about these things. That's what was nice about Radhastami, I found in Christchurch. You could just didn't have to worry about so many things. All right. So we'll be in touch with everyone. Hopefully you can keep Emily here. I can't convince her. Maybe you can convince her. I can't believe she wants to go. So maybe you all can convince her. She'll listen to you. Got itchy feet, you know, she never stayed in one place more than 2 weeks. Well, that's good in the past because there was nothing really worthy of sticking around for. And it's very nice to see Nat making such nice gradual progress. He took his time, that's all right. Now he's accelerating. And of course, we have our stalwarts, the two Joshes, providing stability, providing the anchor. Then we have our pious Harish, bringing his peaceful, tranquil effect. Bring a little culture into the atmosphere. Learn how to be happy. in Krishna consciousness. Don't think that you're always going to have to be concerned with how attractive the material world may look to you. It's not going to look very attractive for long. It isn't attractive, and even the facade will fade very quickly. I've been telling you this again and again. The party is over. Yeah, they're really going crazy out there. North Korea is launching missiles over Japanese territory. And then the next day saying, okay, we'll stop, but the U.S. has to give us money for food. They can't even feed themselves. They're starving. And, you know, they're building missiles and, you know, trying to sell them to Syria and Iran and all these places. The next day they say, we're starving. We need food. Building underground nuclear, you know, underground places for manufacturing nuclear bombs. Meanwhile, the people are starving. Such provocation is going on. At the drop of a hat, people are ready to fight. Afghanistan and Iran, they've got just now like 70,000 soldiers on the border because they're angry at each other over some provocation. Everybody's mad at everybody. President of the USA is trying to divert attention from his sex scandals, you know, and he's, you know, ordering military operations. Firing 80 cruise missiles at some so-called terrorist bases. If they would just give us the money they spend on one cruise missile, we could spread Krishna consciousness so wonderfully. I think there are 250,000, at least 250,000 U.S. apiece, something like that.
Half a million,
yeah, for a cruise missile.
Huh?
A million now. One cruise missile. $1 million. I think it was the what was it, the cheap ones were the, they were using in the Persian Gulf War, what were they called? Yeah, those were cheap. But now they got this, yes. 80, so that's $80 million they shoot shot off into the air. Well, it's even worse. They just were launching one top secret spy satellite into space, and the thing blew up, and the total value of the satellite and the rocket was $1 billion. It blew up as it was launched. You didn't know that. $1 billion blew up on a rocket. You know, super duper computerized electronic spy satellite, you know? $1 billion blew up on the launching pad. You can't see that. $1 billion, that's $2 billion New Zealand dollars. These things are going on. It's crazy. And all the stock markets are crashing, the Russian economy's falling apart, and they're worried, will the South American economies go? And everything is just a mess. And a politician is saying, don't worry, don't worry. It'll be all right. India and Pakistan, they're pretending they're having some kind of talks. It's just a joke, right? They'll never agree, right? They'll never agree. China has had the worst floods in modern history, wiping out their farmland and grain supplies. On it goes. There cannot be peace without Krishna. There's only the illusion that it can happen. Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.